I want to merge the report that I have there for you with a challenge from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 5. Our goal tonight and for our 50th anniversary was just to focus on our two parallel lines, and that is discipleship and ministry and missions. And David did a great job just reminding us discipleship is being together. It's around proclaiming of God's word. Now, we may all do that a little bit differently. We all have different forms and formats, but we all need to be about that. And we want to now focus on what is the action, and maybe put a little more emphasis on that component that Jesus challenged his disciples to be salt and light. And so I listed some things here in which we as an association have been doing. And even Dr. McNeil talked about this. He said, you know, we're doing some things differently. Outdoor worship using radio transmitters. Now, David has been doing radio for, I don't know, before radio began. I think you started radio.
Church started in the mid-60s.
Yeah, mid-60s. So you've been doing radio, and so we kind of picked up on that. Tom did outdoor worship. Anybody else do radio worship? Anybody else here did radio worship? Okay, Larry. We made New Life made our YouTube channel better. We did it half-heartedly, but we put all the guns in that and did that. Zoom meetings. I mean, really, I never even heard of it. You know, Skype, but yet not as a. You know, we did things differently. And I want you to know, ministry was taking place. We were able to help each other, our pastors, and getting together. Tom, thank you. He was kind of our tech guru on Wednesdays of getting us on Zoom and getting us all there. Occasionally, David's computer was operating. He'd use his phone occasionally. You know, he would be in and out. His flip phone. Yeah, it worked real well. So Tom did great with that, and Jonathan had to cut down the discipleship conference from the larger group to smaller group. Some were able to make it, some weren't. We've had a pastor's gathering here just to pray. We just, right here, just a couple of us pastors gathered here, and we just prayed. Went to Himera when they were needing financial need, and several of our pastors were able to get over there and just pray for them. And we want to be here for the association to do things. Redeemer Church needed some more church planting needs. We were able to help them. So I want you to know that we're doing something. You kind of wonder, well, what are we doing? We're doing a lot. We're helping each other out. Your dollars always coming to the association. And I want to challenge you next year, make that just a fixed item, a fixed percent. Instead of, should we give this much? I want to challenge you. Make it a fixed percent, whether it's 1% or 4% or 5%. Just make it a fixed percent, and you don't have to worry about it. A New Life is 4% of our every offering goes to the association. 7% goes to our cooperative program. And we don't worry about, well, should we or should we not? I just feel like we just ought to do it and just make it a fixed percent and go for it. And it's always a blessing to know that when we're over budget, guess what? We send more to the association. We send more to the state because it's based on a set percent every single week. And we've been blessed. God has blessed us at New Life where we're at financially to give more because of that fixed percent. So I'm going to challenge all of our association churches to do that. I want to challenge you just to be about ministry. Just one thing that's coming up in the spring, our youth pastor, Cody Simpkins, you may have gotten a call from him and said, well, who in the world is Cody Simpkins? He's our youth pastor, and he's trying to put a D now together for the association. And working off of Chad, I don't know if Chad's talking to him. So anyway, if you got some youth, sixth grade through seniors, get that rolling, and it'll be sometime in the spring. So we want to be doing things. We want to be a lighthouse. Lighthouse shines past the rocks. It tells the people, hey, there's rocks out there. They don't wait till they hit and all of a sudden realize they're in trouble. Let's get to them before they get to the rocks. That's the whole idea of a lighthouse. And I'm going to try to do this together. I don't know if I can get this done. Oh, okay. There we go. Salt and light. From Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapters 5, verses 13 through 16, you will see this challenge that Jesus gives his disciples. I want you to think about it. This is following that great Sermon on the Mount. He has gathered the disciples together. If you begin to look at his ministry that's already started, it has attracted quite a following. You read that he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God, healing every disease and sickness among people. And the news about him was spreading beyond just that locality. Word of mouth is the best advertisement. I have never yet seen a commercial for an Amish store. A real Amish. Now, I know there are fake Amish stores, okay? But I'm talking about, you go to the Amish country, you'll have a sign out there that'll say, you know, we make beds. The next farm down the road, they make tables and chairs. The real funny one is the Amish farmer that makes entertainment centers. It's true. They do up in Wisconsin. I went there. My father-in-law, we went and we toured. Word of mouth. I went in just to figure out how long is the waiting list for a table and chairs? 3 years. He showed me the log. I'm like, well, how do they know about you? Word of mouth. So if they can get their job done by word of mouth, so can we. It's the best technology ever given, called the gift of gab. So let's just try to utilize that. But I want you to know the word is spreading about Jesus. It is all over the place, and they're coming to the droves, and as he brings them together, he sits them down on a mountainside, and he begins to talk to them. He begins to communicate to them. He begins to tell them about the kingdom of God and how can they get the kingdom of God? How can you obtain the kingdom of God? And he lists that great list of Beatitudes. And then he comes off of the Beatitudes and he makes a startling comment. In verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. In verse 14, you are the light of the world. I want you to understand the crowd that has gathered with Jesus. The crowd was the poor, the uneducated, the disillusioned, the abused, the misfits, oppressed, and the marginalized. He wasn't talking to the elite crowd. He was talking to me, the marginalized. He was talking to the average person. He was talking to the one that never expected to have any power, no expectation whatsoever of getting any authority. They were just trying to survive day by day. Jesus comes preaching the kingdom of God, and they're flocking to him. They're flocking to him, and Jesus says, you are salt of the earth. You are worth me proclaiming to you. You're worth it. You are the light of the world. You have something that God desires to use. You are usable. You may not think you can do anything. My son is preparing for the PSAT last week, and it was a practice exam, and he always thinks he's stupid. And he says, I'm just stupid, aren't I? And I say, well, right now, yeah, you are. Now get your act together. And he is not stupid whatsoever, and always comparing with his sisters and how they did, and we've never done a comparison. But I just want to encourage him that he is worth it. He's worth it. He's worth every effort. And as he's preparing for that future, what it's going to be like, I said, go for it. You're salt. You're light. You're worthy. God has something great in store for all of us. Now, what do you think they thought of that? Jesus, you're crazy. We can't change anything. Matter of fact, we don't even have control of the political situation. Rome is over here, and they're running the show. They're taxing us, and we can't say anything about it. And you're sitting here now on the top of this mountain, and you're saying that we can do something in this world. We're salt and we're light. Salt, think about it for a moment. Salt is usable. How many of you used it today? Yeah. Love it, don't you? Man, you got to have more of it. You put a little bit on, I think I'll have a little bit more. I mean, salt was an important part of the sacrificial system. It was important for preserving their food. But think about for us today, do you know that there are 40 million tons required every year for salt? That's just my household. I don't know about yours. The philosopher Homer said salt was divine. Plato called it substance near to the gods. I mean, they thought that salt was like gold and that they cherished it. Shakespeare mentioned salt 17 times in his plays. And this picture here is an amazing picture of the Lord's Supper table. And do you know there's a salt shaker on it? Do you know that? I'm going to show it to you. This is Judas right here. If you can see him right there, he's the one leaning there. He's got that money bag right there. And right there is a tipped over salt shaker. What do you think Da Vinci was trying to communicate when he painted that about the salt shaker being tipped over? I think he was trying to tell us this one has lost it. Salt's important. Salt was a picture of purity. Napoleon's troops died during the many of their battles because they lacked salt. Your body contains 4 ounces of salt. Salt's important to muscles to move. Too much of it, yeah, it's bad, but you got to have some. Salt. We've got a guy in our church that if he doesn't have enough salt, he passes out. He's trying to salt his food. Everybody else trying to take it away. Here, take my salt. You got to have some salt in your life. See, in other words, salt's a big deal. It's essential to life. We can't exist without it. And Jesus said, you are salt. But he also said, you're light. I want you to think about light. Now, when I thought about light, I didn't realize we were having lighting issues here. It's a good picture. We'll leave it up. So, I want you to think about light. Have you ever lost your power and tried to figure out how come you couldn't see? You walk into a room and you turn on the light switch, but you know you don't have any power, but what do you do? Why isn't this light working? Oh, yeah, the rest of them aren't working either. Light's important. I mean, you go into a room in the middle of the day and there's sun shining in, and what do? You turn on the light. It doesn't really make a difference, but you just have this instant. We've got to have light. We have to have light because it gives us A, vitamin D, to live, to thrive. When it's cloudy outside, we get depressed. We want some sunshine. Light is important, and Jesus was telling this humble mob of misfits that you are special. You are salt. You are light. But let me tell you something about this word you. It's not singular. It's plural. When he said you, he was looking at the entire crowd. He says, you can make a difference. And as we as an association are gathered together, it's we can make a difference. Yes, we have different locations. Yes, we don't all come to everything. But I want you to know that there are others out there praying for you. There's others out there. They're in Rockville and they're preaching the gospel. You're a part of them as an association. Terre Haute, we can make a difference. Linton, I never heard of it. We can make a difference. Clay City, Greencastle, Sullivan, Dana, we can make a difference. Clinton, we can make a difference. ISU, we make a difference. But it's the collective group. It's not one doing it all. It's all of us coming together and realizing that God wants to do something through us. He's looking for us. And he says, can I be salt in your life? Can I be light in your life? I have this question for you. If we allow God to use us, fill in the blank, what would it be? If we allow God to use us, what could be? And I love the passage that Steve talked about. I never thought of the Tower of Babel and the collective unity in a positive light. It's always negative. But if we could be collectively together, and what would happen if your church could say, hey, we collectively be together, what is the difference that could make? You say, we can't do that. Really? You can't do it. Begin to pull some people together and watch God do it. When we think about being salt and light, we just think about preaching. Well, I'm not called to be a preacher, so I don't have to be salt and light. I'm going to let David be salt and light. I'm going to let Larry be salt and light. You think about, well, salt and light, that's only for Sunday school teachers. They're the ones that are the salt and light. No, those are just vessels. Those are just places where God uses you. But do you realize when we talk about being salt and light, it's about touching people. The lighthouse touches people. Salt adds to people. We are touching people's lives. Every single day we come in contact with people, we make a difference. So Nancy Freeman is in charge of the shoebox ministry there at New Life. And she had gotten some large donation of stuffed animals from Petco, I think it was, Petco. I mean, we're not talking like a few dozen. We're talking like several hundred that was given to us. So we were figuring out, what are we going to do? She had like, I don't know, 800 pet stuffed animals. And what are we going to do to kind of spread the joy as we're getting some to pack our boxes with? And so we went to DCS and she took some there, and they recognized New Life because of our ministry with foster kids, and they got talking about how great it was to be a part and things we have done for them. We've hosted some Christmas parties for foster kids, and that they recognized we were impacting that group. She went to the senior citizen and went in there to see if they could use them, and the guy comes out with a New Life face mask. We have them when you come to New Life. If you don't have one, if you like one, we have one. The guy came to visit and he was wearing it. We don't even know who he is yet. He hasn't taken it off. We don't know. Salt and light. I want you to think about the impact you have on your communities. And look at the difference that we're making. We're touching people's lives. Every single day, you're going to rub a shoulder with somebody. What kind of difference does it make? Now, I admit, there are some times where you back into people. Sometimes we make bad impressions. I'm the same way. I have situations where I'm okay. I didn't do a very good job that day. But I want you to think about being salt and light in your world and what we're doing together as an association. And Jesus looking at them and calling them, saying they're worthy. Salt, if it loses its saltiness, it's because we forget about our purpose. When we forget about the purpose of salt, we lose saltiness. We lose our saltiness when we become focused on self rather on serving God. And he says to love your neighbor. As that great attorney said, well, Jesus, what do you mean by loving your neighbor? He told the wonderful story of the Good Samaritan. He said, you're a light. You're the light of the world. You are a town. You are set on a hill and it can't be hidden. Neither do people light the lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others. They may see your good deeds. May they see it. May they see the things that you do. Not to earn a pat on the back, but just to make an impact. Let them see it. Before they get to the rocks, before they get in there, let them see you. Let them know your church exists. That your church will love them and care for them. Will pray for them. Will come alongside them. I have found that in ministry, we can't do everything for everybody. There are requests every week that we just have to say we can't do. But what I have found out, even when you can't meet that specific need, You can pray for them on the phone, and that has meant the world to that person. I may not be able to meet every financial crisis that comes our way, but I can be compassionate and love them in the midst of that and say, I'll pray for you, and truly keep me posted on that. And I'll pray that God opens up a door. And sometimes God does it in mysterious ways. If we will be willing to put ourselves out there to be salt and light, we're in drive-up mode for our food pantry. Every Thursday we have food pantry, serve about 50 families on average. And they know that we don't do financial gifts. We give food. And we try to do as much as we can every time they come. We minister to them. We pray for them. We love them. We provide a social contact. Even it was drive up, and one car came up and said, "Here, I want to give this to you." So they called me out. I was doing something else. They hear this is a financial gift, which is strange. Somebody coming up for food and giving us a financial gift. I don't always quite understand the way God works. Okay, so I opened it up and it was like $63. I mean, that was. They could have bought that box. I just don't understand that, but it was $63. I put it in my pocket thinking, okay, I'll give it to the treasurer later. And so about a half hour or so later, one of our normals drives up, and he has got tears in his eyes. He says, "I know, but I need to talk to you." So I go on his side of the car to talk to him. He's a guy that we know, and he says, I know you don't help me out financially, but I do have a utility bill I really need help with." I said, "Okay, what is it?" He says, "It's $70. I said, "You have the bill with you?" Because I'm thinking that $70 was today's bill, but that's not the last month's bill, okay? I'm thinking, I know the story. I've been down that road. It's actually $300. He hands me the bill, and it was paid up to the, it was just $70. That's all it was. And I said, "You know, we just can't help you." And when I'd said that, I put my hands in my pocket, just out of habit, and there's that envelope. And I said, "Hold on." I said, "This was given to us today, and we really don't know why it was given, but it's $63. Would that help?" I said, "Can you come up with the remainder?" He's like, "Yes." I gave it to him. I said, "Here." I said, "This is from God. It was given to us a couple cars ago. We didn't know. We had no plan for it. But when you put yourself out to be salt and light, God will use you. Take a risk. Do it." So the challenge for us today is to realize that God wants to use us. God wants to inspire us to do something significant for Him. That crowd, especially those disciples listening to Jesus preach on the mountaintop, they had no idea that those, if you want to look at the 12 that were there, of just those 12, not counting the larger group, but just those 12, that 11 of those are going to be used to start the church. They had no idea. They're sitting there in church, and 3 years from that date, they're starting the church. They had no idea. He just said, "Be salt and light." They had no idea. They had no idea the risk that they were going to take for the cause of Christ. And James sitting there would be the first to be martyred for the cause of Christ. He didn't know that. He said, "Be salt and light and make a difference." And guess what? We're preaching about them today. That's making a difference. They had no idea the huge sacrifice it would take to be salt and light. They didn't know. They had no idea the value of the gospel. And they didn't realize when the gospel entered their hearts, their value just went up. But they heard that incredible statement, "Be salt, be light." And with the gospel, you are. It's what you are. You're salt, you're light. So just be salt and light. Just put it out there. Salt adds flavor. Adds a little gumption. Light inspires. Light motivates. And it's all of us working together in salt and light. Individual churches, yes, but working together. That's the challenge that we have before us. So let your light shine before others that they may see the good deeds and glorify the Father. It's all about that end, glorifying Him. So my challenge, go back to the question, if we allow God to use us, what would that look like? David's going to close in a time of prayer because we've got a lot of things we want to pray about. And we want to be serious about God's kingdom and God's purpose. So he's going to call us to that time of prayer. And yes, we're going to pray for our nation and these next 2 days. But remember, no matter what the outcome is on that day, does not set the direction of your faith. Jesus sets it. We're going to be salt and light regardless of what happens. But we do want God's presence to be known. And there may be some things on your heart for your church that you really want to pray about. So this will be a time to wrap up in prayer. And so David, would you take the lead?